Hello, everybody, and welcome. This is Lizzie and Justin from Third Space. We are here, Lizzie, for the 310th time since we began this. So welcome to you and I for our 310th conversation, and welcome to everyone else, whether you've just found us, maybe you've stumbled across us, or maybe somebody's recommended us to you, or maybe you've been with us for 50 or 100 or 300 or 310 conversations, and whichever of that you are, and wherever you are in the world, and whenever in time you're joining us, either live in our Facebook group or on our turningtowards.life website or on a podcast or who knows where, you or Instagram, you are equally welcome. And welcome, Lizzie. I have such joy in doing this for so long. The sense of deepening friendship with you, and what happens when we get deeper into a practice. You know, it seems to me if we do a practice faithfully enough and for long enough, it becomes something quite different. Even though it's the same as the thing that we started with, it's also very different because this conversation is long and deep and there's history in it. And I always hope that all of that length and depth and history becomes available in the immediacy of it too, in just in this half an hour. So as usual, in a minute, we're going to dive into a wonderful source that you've brought, Lizzie, which is what we do every week, is dive into a source and see where the conversation takes us. And I think I want to say just before we get into this amazing source that you've chosen, to say to everyone who's with us, one of the ways that this got started is we wanted to make available to the world the kinds of conversations that we in Third Space are up to in all of our work. And so this is really is that. So if you're with us, you may be with us just to enjoy the conversation, but if you're with us because you're interested in the kind of things, or you might be interested in the kind of things that Third Space get up to, particularly around integral development coaching, then we have a Foundations of Coaching program or two, a couple of days each, coming up in September and November, I think, and they're online and they're available from all over the world. So you can find them on wearethirdspace.org. And I think really, Lizzie, this conversation is of the same family as the conversations on our Foundations of Coaching and on our professional coaching course and really everywhere, which is one of the joys of doing this, that it's us and it's real and it's live. And it's also an expression of something else.
Thank you, Justin. Hello, everybody. If you're watching, I just had to stand up and open the window because I suddenly feel oxygenless. And at this point, middle of September, I am something like 2.5 months away from giving birth to another baby. So I'm like all kinds of hot and cumbersome and full and also happy about the whole thing. So Justin, I've been appreciating this week my, you know, we've used this word multitudinous, which I don't even know if it's a word, but anyway, it is here. It is here. And I'm grateful for my capacity for multitudinousness, because I can be many things at once, which is tired and happy and joyful and distressed and all of the things. I'm really grateful for all of our work, that all of those things can be right next to each other when they seem to be so contrasting and they're all just as real as each other. And as usual, this conversation with you and everybody is like a practice of homecoming, I think, to me, and sane making and centering and joyful and all the things. So thank you all for being here. Thank you, Justin, for always being here as well. And this week we have this wonderful source called Fighting the Wind. And it goes like this. So it's Fighting the Wind by Teresa Breeden. The trick is not to struggle, thrusting the anvil of your body against the gale, not to compete, but to sway and bend, threading the edge of the air, welcoming dishevelment. Who's in charge of corralling the squall into meager breezes, these air-conditioned spaces? Who is bold enough to slam open the windows and let the shouting in? You want to be brave, but you yearn also to curl beneath the blanket of wind, a small fold, your breath, a small sigh beneath the world's loud exhale. And also to be the window it shoves into and through, a portal for the sky. The wind reminds you of what you can be, tussled, dismantled, a being that can continually be remade.
How wonderful. I'm feeling very grateful to Teresa Breeden, who I hadn't heard of till this week, Lizzie. So big bow of thanks to Teresa. And it's very meaningful, before I read, hearing you read this, Lizzie, I was just saying to you that this morning is right in the middle of 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, which is the Jewish New Year, which is all about our capacity to remake ourselves, finding ourselves in the on the cusp of the turn of time and starting to ask the questions about what is it to be remade? What am I really committed? What do I want to let fly into the wind? And where do I want to bring myself with integrity? And so I love this line, that can be continually remade, and I'm looking forward to working towards it as I read. It was particularly meaningful this morning. Fighting the wind. The trick is not to struggle, thrusting the anvil of your body against the gale, not to compete, but to sway and bend, threading the edge of the air, welcoming dishevelment. Who is in charge of corralling the squall into meager breezes, these air-conditioned spaces? Who is bold enough to slam open the windows, let the shouting in? You want to be brave, but you yearn also to curl beneath the blanket of wind, a small fold, your breath a small sigh beneath the world's loud exhale. And also to be the window it shoves into and through, a portal for the sky. The wind reminds you of what can be, tousled, dismantled, a being that can continually be remade.
This is one of those poems, Justin, that each time I hear it or read it, something new, brand new comes, and something brand new just came to me in the reading that you just did. And the thing that got me when I was listening to you just then is this part at the very beginning of not setting ourselves squarely against the wind, but working with the wind. And I've been in this conversation actually with my sister a lot recently, Justin, about who you know, Holly, who many people who listen to Towards Life also know, Holly Holden. She's a very wonderful person. If you Google her or find her on Facebook or Instagram, she's excellent. Many, many wonderful, wise, lovely things to say. And we've been talking about this thing of like not doing the thing that you normally do and seeing what happens. And I feel like that has just come to me right here. And it's such a beautiful way of saying it. Like if I have this normal habitual way of competing with the wind, going headlong into the struggle, doing the thing I should do, the thing I can do, it's one way of the world happening in my life. And then at some point, the experiment comes of, well, what if I did something a bit different? What if I was looking at something yesterday that was advocating for underparenting. You just stop doing the things that you keep trying to do all the time and see what happens. And I feel like, certainly in my life, my obvious habitual responses to things are quite ingrained. So I'll keep approaching something the way that I approach it, or I'll keep doing something the way I've always done it. And then all of a sudden I'm like, oh God, this is just not working anymore. What now? And it feels like it's the end of the road or something. And there's nothing to be done, and I failed, and there's, you know, so it's a mess. It's never going to not be a mess. All of the things that arise in the meeting of some kind of failure. And then this possibility arises of, oh, maybe it's the way I'm being with it that's having it be the way that it is in some part. And what if I don't interact with life in the way that I just have been doing? So, for example, what if I stop? What if I rest rather than keep going? What if I listen rather than speak? What if I allow rather than try and determine what's going to happen next? What if I follow rather than try and take the lead? And the bit that makes me so hopeful is then the end part of, I can be entirely dismantled. I can feel and look like I've been dragged through a hedge backwards, but the nature of my being is continual remaking. So whatever I let go of, whatever I release, whatever I put down, doesn't mean the dissolution of me or the disbanding of me or something. It means that something else gets to be remade, something else gets to be reborn. And having faith in that being true by practicing and experimenting and keeping on doing this thing of letting go of what I always do and trying something new, or trying something that's to do with absolutely nothing, it feels like a chance to encounter what life is really made of, rather than what I think I'm, small I, is made of.
I can feel myself feeling incredibly excited inside at the way that you're talking about this, Lizzie. And it's reminding me that a few weeks ago we talked about, we had a source by Oliver Berkman, and he says something amazing in it, like, maybe the thing you should do is the very last thing you would imagine doing is that's the thing to do. And remembering that, the thing that's really striking me now in what you're saying is, first of all, the joy at our capacity to remake ourselves in that way, like, what if I underparent, which itself is a very, like, tickling idea. But it's also striking me that the reason we need what you're saying, and the reason we need this conversation, and the reason we need Teresa Breeden's words, is because I think a lot of the time it doesn't occur to us in our experience that I am doing anything in a particular way. It can look and feel like it's easier to see when we look at someone else. You know, I can see Lizzie's way, and I can see, you know, Holly's way, and I can see. But when we're experiencing it from the inside of us, when I experience life from the inside of me, it can look like, well, I'm just getting on with going along with the world. Here I am in the world. I'm doing things, and the world's doing things. And of course, I'm just doing whatever's called for, because we learn, we settle into habitual patterns and interpretations of life that go into the background, and we don't see them as conscious choices. I was thinking about, last night I had to drive. We were with some my lovely cousins, and we drove home, and then we left something there. So I had to drive back and then drive back again. And I realized when I arrived back at their front door that I couldn't remember the journey that I'd just done. I'd got in the car, I knew, and I'd driven all the way. And I think I really think a lot of our lives is like that. Feels like we're just, here I am just being in the world, but what's harder to see is that it's filled with what are essentially choices, that they probably many of them no longer feel like conscious, intentional choices that I can point to and I say, right here, I'm choosing, because they've sort of become a groove. And then the world responds to us in the way that we do, and we find ourselves sort of meshed in with the world, and it doesn't feel like we're so separate. We're just getting on with stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why having good friends who'll be truthful, or partners who'll be truthful, or children who'll be children, actually amazing for this. They spot things all the time. Or a coach, if I think about the work that we do. Having somebody who can come alongside and help us to see that there actually is a pattern, and that going with the wind or going against the wind is something that we're up to. There is a thing that we're up to. And then starting to give name for what that thing is. So I can say, oh, I think habitually it has been very easy for me in my life in one way. I can sort of see lots of different ways in different circumstances. Been one way to go body against the gale, which is to resist, not let myself get affected by this storm. That's sort of my version of it, not fighting the storm, but like, I'm just not going to let myself get affected by the storm. It took a lot of people who love me telling me that that's what I was doing to even be able to see it. And of course, it's also difficult to see it because often it's protected by all our self-criticism and our shame and whatever, that there's even a pattern. That's what me, I'm not doing anything. I'm just... Or when we learn to observe it for ourselves, then what an absolute liberation it is to realize that I actually could choose a different response in this circumstance, that my response is not just the way the world is. It's like, it's complete revelation. And so I'm wanting to make a big deal of it, because there's a way in which it's the most ordinary thing in the world that you were talking about. Well, we could experiment with doing something other, but in order to do something other, you actually have to know you're doing a thing in the first place. You have to know that there's a way, there's a Lizzie way or a Justin way in this particular thing, and then entertain the possibility of letting go of it. And the excitement that's in me is, for me, is this excitement of, gosh, there are so many places where I have a habitual way. Sometimes that habitual way is very helpful. Don't want to knock that. Sometimes it's incredibly unhelpful and painful. What a thing it would be to invent for all of them, to simply invent, maybe with some help, they're doing the opposite thing, and then to see what happens from trying out. That feels so life-filled, and it feels like what Teresa Breeden is talking about here, being a window, being the window that life shelves into and through, being a portal for the sky.
It's so good hearing you say all of that, Justin. And the thing that's rising up for me is the excruciation of being seen in my Lizzie way. I know all the times that it's happened to me, like you said, of a friend or a child or a coach or anyone saying, do you know that this is what you're like? It's like someone can see me, and I know that in some level, but I've been pretending that both I don't know it and I'm pretending you can't see me in some way, or I just don't know you can. But it's rising really strongly in me. I can feel so much in my body right now, that kind of exposure of, like, you know, the moment someone said to you, Justin, do you know you do like body against the gale? Or when someone says to me, you know, you're actually quite feisty and scary at times. I feel like, oh, in a way, it's grand relief. And in a way, it's complete and utter excruciation. Because it's often, I find, with my pieces of me that come forth that are noticeable by others, but are a bit blind to me, they have a kind of a quality of being in that realm of you not knowing how you got from one place to another when you get out of the car, they're just those happenings, like you said, the groovy things that happen. And often the grooves aren't somehow they're things I don't really want to see about myself, because they're not really aligned with my deeper intentions in the world. And I think for me, that's part of the excruciation, is when someone says something to me about me that doesn't match my good intention, which I'm filled with, as are all of us. I feel embarrassed and exposed, and I can't also deny the truth as well. And there are times when I can deny the truth, and then something else comes up, which is pushing somebody away or being angry or defensive or whatever. But thankfully, I think I know myself well enough now that if I'm feeling really defensive, I kind of know that there's some truth in what the person said. And it's time for me to go inwards and be truthful and ask other people too, and say, oh, do you know this thing in me? And often they'll go, yes. And I'll go, okay, give me the humble pie and I'll eat the lot, because clearly there's something here that I need to find more access to that impacts other people, and I have to do something about it. But it's not easy work. It's not a straight line, and it's hard to see. So I'm really appreciating any of us, those of us at any time who are able to open to that. I think it's really tricky work and really hard work. And I can feel the kind of the challenge of it and the difficulty and the kind of love that it takes for anyone to say anything like that to anyone. Because if I'm the person saying to you, Justin, do you realize that you just hold fast against the gale and this is the impact that it has or something, I kind of know that's going to be hard for you to hear. And so I also have to trust in something deeper that's available to truth, that's wanting the truth of things, the reality of other people's experience to be intertwined into your awareness and your understanding. And I also have to know that your intentions really matter to you. Otherwise, what would be the point in saying it? So, as usual, I'm just noticing the relational requirement for this even to be a possibility. Mm-hmm. You know, that for you to say something to me about my way of being in the world that isn't aligned with my intentions, or that impacts people in a difficult way that I wouldn't want, or that they don't want, we have to have the kind of relationship that can withstand that, which doesn't, it feels quite like quite a tall order, given the way relationships these days seem to be happening. So I'm just in appreciation for those people in my life who are brave enough to tell me the truth and tell me in a way that I can hear it too. That's a massive skill. There's plenty of times it gets told to me in ways that I can't hear it, and then it's much less likely to impact me in a way that I do something about it.
Mm. Well, I'm really struck by this territory that you've opened up, Lizzie, about how do we say to one another, this is what you're like? I think that's what you said. Yeah. I think that's what you said earlier. And actually, I was thinking about different kinds of relationships. So I'm thinking about all the people who are with us at the moment learning coaching. And there are some kinds of coaching where coaches would never say anything like that to someone. You know, I'll ask you lots of things, but I won't say anything myself. And our kind of coaching has in it the possibility that I might say to you, here's what I see. This is what you're like. This is something about your way of being in the world. I wonder whether sometimes it's easier if it's someone who isn't an intimate person. You know, there is some advantage in having someone who's on the outside who's not got a stake in it. But more importantly than that, it occurred to me that we can only really do that with one another when we know one another's goodness.
Mm.
So if I was going to say anything to you by way of me getting what I want or dealing with my own thing, and I'm not attending to the kind of goodness that you are in the world and really honouring that there may be a way that you're like that has impact on me, but is also related to what you care about, anything I say to you is almost certainly unhelpful, because it'll land as a cutting something. We can't do it that way for this to work out, I think. So we have to really find the goodness in ourselves, but really find the goodness in the other person if we want to talk to someone else that way.
Mm.
And so the act of seeking goodness in one another is important for this. But the other thing I thought about was, there are lots of ways to find out that we're fighting the wind. And one might, and you are, have been and are, one of these for me is the person who'll come and tell me when you see me fighting the wind, but you'll also tell me, you'll also lay out conditions for safety and love and mutuality in our conversation, so that when you want to tell me that I'm fighting the wind, it's got a place to land.
Mm.
It's not.
Mm.
But the other part of it is, none of these things have to happen in us or from other people all at once. It's okay that it took me many, 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 many years to really start to get onto, and I'm still right in the middle of it. And we've been talking about this week, Lizzie, you and I, as we've been teaching along with Nina in our program for graduates of our programs that we've been running this week. Seeing all the ways that it's hard for me to receive help from other people is something I both know about and don't know about. And some of it comes from people telling me when they're trying to help me and I'm not receiving it. But a lot of the unfolding, I love this thing that Teresa Breeden says, it's such great language, that we want to be a small fold beneath the storm. We want to curl into the blanket and be a small fold. And if you're a small fold, also you can unfold into the wind, if that's what's called for. So I was thinking that the unfolding of my own capacity to go against the habit of shutting down help and trying to do it to myself isn't a process just of somebody telling me it. It's also of me noticing it in myself and then experimenting over time. And it's a long-term project to try and invent ways of unfolding and being in the wind, you know, being in the gale of people's love and appreciation and support, and not sort of fold myself up. I mean, that dynamic is so brilliant, and fold myself up underneath it. It doesn't just come because somebody tells me that it's a thing for them or they see it in me. That's part of it, but it comes from me being attentive to it and me experimenting with it and me letting, being patient with it. So it feels important that our learning to be tousled and dismantled and beings that continually be remade, I think for most of us, doesn't sort of happen in a moment of stunning revelation or because somebody chose just the right thing to say to us. Maybe that sometimes happens. It comes because we try it out and we learn. So we're involved too.
Mm.
Some of it doesn't even have to involve another person at all. There's loads we can discover.
Yeah.
Just by looking at watching ourselves in the world.
Mm-hmm. You're giving me a new kind of relationship somehow, just into being that dismantled, disheveledness as you're talking. And also maybe that's a place where, you know, I certainly know I've got so much better at it over the years, but still there's a way it's unenjoyable to be completely undone. But if that dishevelment can be an attribute of this thing you're talking about, of over time seeing ourselves and trying things that are different, I'm also appreciating that I could interpret my dismantlement and my dishevelment and my tussledness as an indication of growth, an indication of relaxing enough that something different could be born if it needed to. And I really welcome that. I welcome the, you know, in our work, Justin, we often talk about openings. And I really welcome the opening, the opportunity, the I don't know what's going on right now-ness of life, of our individual collective worlds. And having it be as a point of, oh, look, something interesting's happening. What's going on here? How am I being undone? And in my undoneness, what can I see? Because I know I can see very different things from my dismantlement than I can from my having everything together and knowing what I'm doing, which frankly is quite rare, but it does sometimes happen. And how great that it does, that sometimes I feel really capable and really able. I notice as I say that, I feel not at this in the state that my body's in right now. I feel that very rarely. I feel very open and very disheveled and unmade. But I know that this is a very particular time in a person's life when birthing is imminent. I feel really grateful that I know that I can be in relationship to those happenings in different ways, so that I'm not interpreting there's constantly something wrong with me, or that I need to, I don't know, disappear or something, but that I can be curious and I can wonder what's here, what's happening. And have faith in my being as one of the kinds of beings that can continually be remade. So I think, Justin, this is our time to finish our conversation for today, which will continue next week. I just want to say how grateful I am to Teresa Breeden by writing this so beautifully and creating such an extraordinarily excellent platform for us to spring off of and wander into different realms together. And Justin, may this period for you continue to be this, you know what you say, like ceremonialized way of looking in this way of your remaking, everybody in your community's remaking. And it's a really, yeah, it's a really beautiful source that we've got to have between us. So thank you, Teresa Breeden, once again, if you're ever listening to us. And thank you, everybody, for being here. And we will be next week back with a source from you, Justin, and doing the same thing, if all goes to plan, which it normally does. Thank you, everyone. Thanks, Justin.
Thank you.